Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Voices of Hope. This week we are talking to Jenny Faust, and she is the founder of lovejustly.com, an ethical clothing and fashion website where you can find all kinds of jewelry and clothing and buy them, and it'll directly help those who make them. You can also follow her at love_justly on Instagram and search for Love Justly on Facebook to follow her page. And enjoy our conversation about ethical clothing and how Jenny got into that. She has also graciously given us a promo code if you want to go to her website after the podcast and get 15% off your purchase. The promo code is New Hope, N-E-W-H-O-P-E, New Hope, for 15% off. Enjoy the conversation. All right. Hey, Jenny. Welcome.
Hello.
So tell us a little bit about Love Justly.
Yeah, absolutely. So Love Justly launched in November of 2016. So it's been around for a little more than a year, and it's a site for discounted ethical fashion. So what that means is basically when you go to lovejustly.com, you are guaranteed that anything on this site has a ripple effect of good. And it's all at a discount as well. So I partner with companies who work in ethical fashion, fair trade, you know, social good component, and buy from them, you know, excess stock or stock that's maybe from past seasons that they need help selling or just no longer want because they moved on to next seasons. And so I buy it from them at a discount and then turn around and sell it to people at a discount. And it all kind of came about because I always loved a good deal, and I loved companies that, you know, did good by people and that my purchase I knew made an impact. And when I was struggling to find something where it's like, get a good deal, but I also, you know, everybody's on a budget. So it's like, how can I find something within my budget, but also that I feel good about after I purchase? And when I could never find anything, one day I was like, how about I just do it?
So did Walmart not count in that?
No, Walmart didn't count. So I just, you know, it's been amazing working with companies who are just doing incredible things around the world. And they're working with artisans around the world and paying them. So ethical fashion is really just making sure that people are paid a fair wage, that they are treated fairly, that they, you know, are, their rights are being accounted for. And that's not always the case, especially with, you know, common phrase is fast fashion, which would be H&M, Walmart. A lot of those places where things are very cheap.
Oh, H&M is one.
Oh, yes. Oh. So many are.
Oh.
And what's hard is that comes, you know, when you're paying people a proper wage and the conditions are as they should be, it comes at a higher price point. And so there's good reason for that. And so a lot of what I do is I want to introduce people to these companies who are doing really cool things because I want, you know, people to discover them through me and then also think through their budget a bit more of instead of maybe buying all these things at Target. And there's nothing wrong with Target. I still buy from Target too, but just being aware of the power of our purchase.
Yeah. And you're not shaming anybody.
No,
this isn't about shaming. It's
yeah. There's no shame. It's just more of awareness. So if you have, you know, your clothing budget or jewelry or whatever it is, if even 30% of that, then you set aside to maybe spend a little more from somebody who you know it's doing a lot of good. I think that's a great thing and it's a great start. And there's never, I don't think the goal is ever to be 100%. That's a lot of pressure and it's unrealistic. But just our purchases have tremendous power and being aware of that and thinking through what can I do to make a difference, because it really does matter and it really does make a difference. So it's fun.
Yeah. So this is kind of like the difference between Love Justly and any other type of online clothing store is that it's, if we think back to like the fair trade coffee thing was a big deal a while ago. I mean, it still is a big deal. It's still ongoing. But this is kind of the equivalent of that for clothes.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's, and I have clothing, jewelry, accessories. I did have some shoes I don't need more, but those may come back. So it's anything in that space, and then even a few household items. And it is that. So not everybody is going to be quote-unquote fair trade certified, just because there's a lot of cost that also comes with that. So they may meet the qualifications of fair trade certified, but it's very expensive, and especially for some smaller companies, it's just really hard to go through that. But they're doing the same thing, and so that's where you'll often hear ethically sourced, and it's meaning that the ethics are there where they're treating their people properly. And, you know, I have blogs on my site that, you know, has interviews with a lot of these founders, and so hearing their story, and it's really interesting and inspiring, and their heart is in the right spot, and so it's very fun to come alongside them for sure.
So what do you make of this? I think the more information that's available to us now, the more there's this voice from people coming up that saying we have to be more responsible. What do you make of that? It's not just clothes. It's coffee. There's countless stories out there about Apple and what they're doing in their shops and everything. So why do you think this is becoming a bigger deal and more awareness is being raised?
I really even see it, and I think it's inspiring and very cool among college and surprisingly, a lot of my audience are college students. You know, they're very becoming aware, and I think it's great to see. My hope is future generations are that way, and it's not going to be everything, but even if just a few of our purchases are more mindful, like, it's going to be very hard to say everything in my home is, or all of my electronics are ethically sourced. That's hard, and that's a lot of pressure, and then you will give up at some point. It's like, okay, I can't do any of this, and it becomes overwhelming. But a lot of, I'm seeing among the younger generations, people are caring more, and then throughout all, and it's very inspiring to me, and I think just being aware of the impact each of us individually can make, and that there's a lot that can be done. And then once you get into this space, you find so many different ways and cool things people are doing. You know, there's a lot in the eco-friendly movement of things, of, you know, being aware of our use of plastic and all of that. So it definitely, there's so many trails that you can go down with that. So I think just figuring out what kind of impact you want to make in your life that's realistic and that you feel comfortable with. And ultimately, in the end of the day, just knowing our money speaks very loudly, and there's a lot of really neat companies out there trying to make an impact. And I just encourage people to seek them out, because it's a pretty cool space.
Did you ever see that commercial? I don't remember what it was for, but it was this guy taking the subway to either work or someplace, and he kept seeing all these signs to give to this and that, and then he kept having, like, first one was a dog, adopt a dog. Mm-hmm. So then a dog showed up with him, and then help a homeless vet. And so then the homeless vet was with him. And the whole point of the commercial was, like, there's so many things out there that it can get overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I think the whole point of it was find something that you can do.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do all the things, but find something you can do. So that's kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, right? No, I think that's so true. Because I think sometimes people think, well, there's so much, where do I even begin? So I'm not even going to start. Or it gets very overwhelming, or, you know, saddening, or whatever it may be. And so just know you don't have to do it all. And I think people are called to different things. Some people feel very compelled and called to help homeless people. Some people, it's animals. Like, I think everybody has their right thing that they're called to do, and it shouldn't be all of it, because then that's a big burden for a single person to carry. Just knowing collectively our good is doing a lot of great, you know. So in celebrating what they feel passionate about and what they want to make their impact in what area, and then it all works very well together.
So would you say your faith called you into this type of work? Because before, and I don't know if you still do some stuff on the side, but you did PR stuff, right?
Yeah, and I still do. This is a passion project of the heart.
Yeah.
So I love Justly. It's, you know, slow and steady growth. And so I do still work in PR and marketing, but in work on Love Justly, a lot of times at night when my kiddos are in bed, But it's, I guess your question is about my faith, and I'd say that absolutely plays a role in it. And I think just bloggers and people I admire and had followed, and many of them have a faith background to them, talk about this and talk about the power of our purchase. And so that's what got me aware. But when I was reading all of this, a lot of my mind was on, how can I get the best deal? Where can I find the cheapest? I would be very happy when I'd spend $3 on a t-shirt. Like, it's just exciting stuff. And so then I was just trying to figure out, how can I make both of this things work? How can I feel good on my budget while also knowing my purchases matter? And that's when I, you know, wasn't finding anything. And so that's, I contacted some companies, like, is this a need of yours? Like, do you have excess stock that you would sell at a discount so I can sell at a discount? And I was surprised how many people were thankful for my help in that area. And then, you know, it brings awareness to them. And I do think, you know, my store is called Love Justly. I do believe that we should do all we can to love and serve others and fight for justice in all the ways that we can. And, you know, it's verse from the Bible. And, you know, yeah, it's just, yeah. So it is woven into it. It's not front and center, but, you know, on my mission page, it's woven in there. I also give a percentage of all sales to Legacy Collective, which I also adore and believe in. And that's launched by Jen Hatmaker, who's a Christian author and blogger. And so they work to, you know, pool money and resources and then give it to where there's the greatest need in the moment. It could be domestically, internationally. And I really, they have a board and I really trust how they're spending that money. So I'm giving 5% of all the profits to that as well. So yeah, it's woven throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you mentioned, Love Justly, Walk Humbly. Is that the,
I think Micah, it's Micah.
Yeah. So that's kind of one of those pieces that has kind of pushed you in that direction, is giving you a passion for it, is, people.
Yeah.
And loving people and taking care of people.
Yeah. 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 I think there's a lot around the world where I feel very lucky. I was fortunate to grow up in the United States. You know, there's a lot of people who just born in circumstances that are just totally different and, you know, in many ways unfair. So I think, what can I do? And people buy things all the time. And so it's a roundabout way. It's giving people economic opportunity and dignified employment. And, you know, there's a lot of these companies are doing incredible things, like Starfish Project. I have a lot of their jewelry. They're working in brothels in China. So it's just, they're rescuing people and giving them dignified work so that they don't have to be doing things that doesn't respect them, and providing economic opportunities they wouldn't have otherwise. And then there's a lot of people just in rural areas that are saying, you know, giving them things to make and create, and the items are beautiful and amazing. So in a lot of it, I think people think fair trade, there's a certain look to it. I have some things from Symbology, who's more, I would consider, high end. I mean, their items traditionally are quite pricey, but on my site you can get them more reasonably, and their items are gorgeous. You would see them in any major, I mean, higher end stores, and you wouldn't know it was fair trade. It's very nice and fashionable. So there's a variety of things.
Yeah. I remember in college, and in college you have a lot of conversations about a lot of different things because you're learning new things. And I remember talking with a friend of mine about this type of thing. How can we responsibly spend our money? When we talk about being Christians, we talk about being good stewards all the time of our time and money and all that. So what's being a better steward with your money, whether you're saving a lot of money by buying a lot of cheap stuff, and then you can give that money towards other things, but you're supporting this system that is not giving dignity to human beings, or do you pay a little bit more and you help the dignity of human beings and flourishing of human beings? But kind of what you're going with is you're kind of having a little bit of both. You have the discounted price, and then you're also supporting.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Kind of? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I tried. Well, not try. That's what I did create.
Yeah.
And then and just an awareness, bringing an awareness to the space. I think it's a, there's more momentum in it. More people are becoming aware of their purchase, but it's still, you know, by far it's your stores that aren't in that, that are taking the majority of the spending power. So just introducing people to these companies too, I just think is a, is my role as well in this. And, you know, you're still going to buy at your traditional stores because it's easy. Like if you need something today, you're just going to go to the store and get it. And you should. It's just more of being good stewards of your money and figuring out what feels good in your heart about that. And I do hear that argument where, well, these people are still being paid. You know, at your, not to bash companies, but at your traditional big box retailers and stuff, they're still getting paid. And they are, and there would be a ripple effect if they raised the, I guess, prices that these people are being paid. Are there
minimum wage?
Yeah. But, and so there's big, you know, there's a lot of discussion to be had around that. So it just it ultimately comes down to where, how do you want your money to be spent and what kind of impact do you want it to have? And I have no judgment on that. I just want people to be aware of their purchase and then think through their own self, what feels good to them. And really that's all that matters. Like,
well, it sounds, it's a movement to try and get people more aware, and the more aware people get, the more transforming it can be over time.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's not shaming or yelling at people.
Well, and a lot of major stores, I mean, it is impacting them. I mean, I was just seeing the other day that, just because we mentioned them, but H&M, their stocks are dropping tremendously this year. And I think people are becoming more aware of their purchase, and they are starting to seek out, and big stores are starting to change their sourcing in small ways, because it's hard, and they will never be fully, because there's too much involved there. But they will have collections, and they will have things in their store that are theirs ethically sourced. Like Target had one with a company, which is a company, is that's their name. And they were almost on Love Justly, but then they went with Target and weren't doing these things. And so, you know, Target's trying to figure out how can we reach those consumers, because more and more people are caring. And so they're trying to figure it out, which I think is great, that ultimately we want there to at least be that option, and then companies will figure all of that out.
Yeah, I think Target's probably the only big store out there that's kind of dipping into this piece more than others.
Yeah, they are. A lot of them are behind the scenes trying to figure it out, and a lot of them are trying to figure out in regards to sustainability too, because that's a whole nother thing, is their environmental impact and footprint and all of that. So not only is it just how your workers are treated, but also what's your environmental impact. There's a lot going on in that space too.
Now, do you think these companies would do this just out of the goodness of their heart, or is it what the consumer wants and demands that ends up changing?
And I think there's great people that work at these companies. I mean, just in my own.
I'm not trying to lure you to bash.
No, I know, but I. What I want to say is, you know, it all comes down to money. I mean, and and I don't mean to say that in a mean way. It's just the reality. If you're running a business, you have to mind your finances. And so you as a person may feel like, oh, I want to do this. Well, if that doesn't help your bottom line, you can't. There's a lot of people you're adhering to with that. So that's what it comes down to, money. But consumers are speaking loudly about this. So it is impacting them. And so they are starting to, they have to be thinking through, because 5 years from now, you can't be behind this. So more and more are trying to figure out, okay, how do we still make money in this space? Because it is more expensive, which means the prices are higher, but people aren't used to paying higher prices. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole thing where they have to figure out the economics of it all. And it's not an easy spot, but many companies are starting to, and some may be doing it more reluctantly than others. But
and like you said, it can be a decision that, you know what, we're saving money over here, so that means we're gonna spend a little bit more on clothes so that we get, you know, the correct, this is what we're passionate about, right? Just like, this is a very small and lame example, but we started buying organic milk rather than regular milk, And it's a little more expensive.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was one of those things in our food cart that we were willing to pay a little bit more for, just because.
Yeah.
And you could talk about all the benefits of that or not, but I just like the taste better. Yeah. But money does talk. All of our decisions in our personal lives often come down to money, right? Mm-hmm. Can we do that or not? Can we go on that vacation or not? Should we spend that much? And so, so money is not a bad thing to talk about. That's just the world we live in, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so just through that figuring out for you, like, people individually, what makes the most sense for them. And then corporations are just trying to figure that out, too. Mm-hmm. How do we meet consumer demand while still making money, because they have shareholders and all that they're talking to.
So. I think why it's going on behind the scenes is because they're starting to see the movement. It's not quite here yet, so they're trying to prepare for when it hits full steam.
Yeah, because it's still a small population, but it's small and vocal. There's a lot of people, and they're just seeing that, you know, it's also the local trend. There's a lot of people who are looking to buy locally, and not just in clothing, but where we saw the largest was in beer, where I worked previously. It's just people are buying local, so it doesn't doesn't matter. Your beer may be more amazing when we worked in that space, but it's like, are you the local person down my street that made it? Okay, I'll buy from you.
Yeah.
And so I think companies are trying to figure that out across all industries. How do we meet people's demands where they're wanting the local, but the price is right? And so there's all these different factors. Consumers want a lot. And, you know, I'm one too. I get it. We all want all these things, but it comes at a price, and there's a lot associated with that.
So. Yeah, with like beer drinkers now, it's almost a sin to drink like a Bud Light or
Well, especially something in Colorado. Like
that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And who was it? Was it last year that sold to Anheuser-Busch? Was that Breckenridge?
There've been several.
Or New Belgium?
Not New Belgium.
Not New Belgium.
Several. Yeah.
It was one of them, and it was a big deal. Like, people were upset because now they're part of that system and not the local system. That is a big, and I would say that's a really big thing in more urban places, maybe like up in Denver and stuff. I think we're seeing it more in Castle Rock because we're starting to grow, but suburbs were always the place where the big...
they thrive a bit more.
Yeah, and so, like, with our breweries around town, they're thriving. We're even building more, like two more. And a lot of people are like, how many breweries can you have? And I'm like, not enough, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
Now, do you think this to me, this movement kind of seems a little bit like, if we look at history as a whole and how we treat people with jobs, we think back to slavery. We even go back way to the biblical times where there's slavery, and we keep figuring out treating people a certain way does not end well. Like, treating them badly does not end well ever, but we keep trying to do it. And so do you think, like, in the early 20th century, we started unions, right, to protect workers and their rights and stuff. Do you think this is a new... this type of ethical buying is a new evolution of that?
Yeah, I don't know for sure what...
That's a really big question,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, it's good, and I don't know for sure what has sparked... I think probably a lot is just social media. That has become bigger in the last 10 years. People are able to share their thoughts and feelings about things more, so I think... you've really seen, you know, a greater, there's more conversations about it. There's been more documentaries about it. There's just a lot more discussion about it, and people are sharing more. And I think when you can easily share because of social media, it spreads things quicker. So
good or bad.
Yeah, right. Good or bad. And so I think there's people who've always probably been passionate about, you know, fixing this. And, you know, there's a lot of, well, and what, also there was a huge factory collapse in Bangladesh. I want to say it was like 7 years ago. lots of people were killed. That was a huge thing for people too. I think that opened a ton of people's eyes to this isn't right. Like, we shouldn't be having, I mean, there was like 1,000 people that were killed in that. So this shouldn't be happening where people are working in these conditions where buildings are horrible and people could die at work. Mm-hmm. So that sparked a lot. I know a lot of the companies I've worked with, they've used that point as something that opened their eyes. And then a lot of people who travel and see the world, I think when you get outside of your personal space and bubble and where you are and just see the world through other people's eyes, you're open to, oh yeah, there's a lot of things out there and how can I help? And that's been how a lot of people have started some of these companies that I work with too. And so I think it's just kind of all a culmination of it and people having more honest conversations about it.
Yeah. And I think we keep forgetting that, and that Rob Bell says this, that we're human beings, not human doings.
Yeah.
And, and that's easy to get caught up in, especially in our culture where capitalism is the prime push in our economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the more you produce, the more money you make, the better life you can have.
Right.
But sometimes within that, you just get caught up in this whole system where you're not being, you're just doing all the time. And that's why I think, my personal opinion, I guess we're seeing a lot more people struggling with mental issues and things like that and depression, because it's, I mean, some of that is genetic, but some of it is we don't get time to just be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's really true. I think our, especially in the United States, the culture is to do, more, mm-hmm. more money, more, bigger house, bigger, all these things, which is great and grand. And for some people that, you know, it's all individually. If that works and you are truly happy, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that works. But it's just always checking yourself. Mm-hmm. Is this really what I want to be doing, or what's the point of it? Is it to show others, or is it for me? And, you know, that's what I've loved about Love Justly, is that it just makes my heart happy. Like, when I work on it, even though I may be tired at the end of the day and I've had a full day already, I love it. I think it's a space where I know it helps, and the people that I work with in this space are just such good, kind-hearted people, and many of them are Christian. It's just they're trying to do their small part in their small part of the world to make a difference, and it's inspiring. I think it's just really, really cool to experience and be a part of.
So. Yeah. I think the funny thing, since I've gotten the associate pastor job at New Hope, that Michelle and I have found, is that people are always asking either, when are you going to buy a house? or when are you going to have a kid?
Yeah, right.
And so it's always like the next thing. You're going to move up. You got to get right. Something bigger. And that's really been challenging us, just thinking about it, is like, do we want to do these things just because we want to? Or is it because that's just the next step? You know,
yeah,
and especially house, it's like, do we have to?
Right.
So it is interesting to see how our culture, it's just embedded mm-hmm. in it, right? That thought of more and more moving up.
And then when you have a kid, the question will be, so when are you gonna have another kid?
Or then get what prepared. School are you gonna get them into?
Right.
What
I know.
College with sports, yeah. It's always the next thing. It's like, it let's is. Just be happy with the moment now.
Yes, no, absolutely. And then that's where we have to check ourselves, be like, I'm cool. So if they all aren't,
yeah,
that's a bummer for them, but I'm good.
Well, yeah. Don't you think Christians should be on the forefront of stuff like this,
yes.
Reminding people about their humanity that God has given them, that we're not just these machines meant to produce stuff, but we are created in the image of God to create out of joy and love. And I think that's...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What you're aiming for with Love Justly.
Yeah, yeah. Very much. Yeah. So, and that's really the whole heart of it all, is just to... And to make the world a little smaller, mm-hmm. I feel like. Because another thing I get, it's not related to Love Justly. Well, it's not Love Justly, but it's related to it, I guess. I get a Fair Trade Friday box, which is called. So every month I get a box of items, Fair Trade items, from another company around
like
the world.
Bark box.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
But for humans.
It absolutely is. And it just makes me so happy every time I get it, because it's like I'll open something that's from somebody around the world who made this, and I can read their story. And it's like, because we're very, I think you can get very isolated where you are in the world. It's big, beautiful, and sometimes very troubled place. And so trying to, I just know I feel better about my day and myself when I step beyond myself and help others and think about others. And I know that when I'm more, if I'm more thinking about myself in a week, or I just have bad weeks, like I just, it's good to just figure out what is your calling and how can you help, and whatever that may be, even if that's just, not just because I love people who do, but volunteering at their child's school and being amazing with all those kids, like that's a gift and that's awesome, and you should rock and be amazing at that. Mm-hmm. Like we all each have our thing, and just figuring out what that is. So I think through all of this, that's my biggest hope, is people figure out what they love and they're passionate about and know their money does make an impact and does make a difference, and you know, figuring out how you want to be good stewards of that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. So. That's why I love movies. That's totally different. I mean...
That's why you're having your Bible or your movie class.
Yeah, my pastor's class, my real spirituality. Which by the time this airs, it might be...
It'd be over.
No, it might be going on. Mm. We're having trouble finding dates. but it, one of the things I always try and tell people is we're, especially with movies, we're in a culture where it has to be a franchise or a sequel anymore. And when it's an original film, people tend not to want to go see it because they don't know anything about it. And it's like, you got to support that original filmmaking, because...
Yeah.
If we're just adapting books and TV shows and rebooting stuff, that's not very creative anymore.
That's so true.
And so finding your way to be creative and make a difference and finding what works for you is a great, great message. And you took a big leap of faith to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a little
And
crazy.
still leap of faith. You're, right? You're still kind of jumping, right?
Yeah. You know, the good thing is I don't have any... real overhead. I have products, so it's all at my house. It's all there. So I have that, but it's not like I have this immense pressure of I have to sell a certain amount each month. So as long as I'm slow and steady and doing it, and I love interacting with the customers who do buy, and it's just, it's really fun. So
yeah. Well, and hopefully maybe people that have listened to this will go to lovejustly.com. Okay. lovejustly.com, and you can check out all that great ethical fashion and support Jenny and support all the fashion people around the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it does have like kind of where it comes from on or not
on each product description.
On each product. Yeah. So check it out. Jenny, do you feel good about this? Do you have anything else
you
want to
say? Yeah, it's great. And I'm fairly Well, I do have somebody who helps me on Instagram, so I'm fairly busy on Instagram, so that's probably the best way. Facebook is kind of hit or miss.
So is it Love Justly on Instagram?
It's at @love_justly on Instagram. So
okay. I'm going to add that to my intro when I record that.
That's pretty active. Facebook, it's...
Well, you're reaching a different crowd, so Facebook doesn't work for you that much, right? You said your crowd is a lot of college age.
Well, it does run the gamut, but I've been surprised by the college age. I've had, I guess, the most vocal people who are just, like, in love with it have been college students, because the values align with them, and they have no budget. And I have stuff on my site that's pricey, too, but it's... less pricey than if you went to buy on their site. So, you know, things range from some jewelry is super cheap to some dresses are like $80. So it does run the gamut of prices. But.
So you have everything for everyone that wants a budget or somebody that wants to spend a lot of money. You got it all.
It's there. Yes.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else, do you? We can end this. We're kind of at the time where we usually end it, and we will listen to this when it airs in a couple weeks. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, Jenny.
Thank you.